All right, Genesis chapter 26. Let's head right over. Are you awake? Just barely? Had too many devilish food, huh? Deviled eggs. You didn't have enough angel food cake or whatever. Pastor's just trying to balance it out for y'all. All right, Genesis chapter 26, lesson learned. And I want to start out by thinking this way, okay? So as you walked in tonight, or say I'm going to mess it up too, this afternoon, none of you went up to the pew, stared at it, and wondered if it was going to hold you up, right? Anybody in fear of your pew? Lack of trust, you know, issues of your pew. What about the food? Did you go out there and just stare at the food and wonder what people were doing to you? You know, somebody's got to put something into that food, you know, and hurt you in some way. I didn't see any of you question that except for the picky people, you know, then you question everything about food, right? But some of you just dove right in. Some of you dove right in again, and you enjoyed that food. Anybody come up to their vehicle today and then you question, oh man, I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm not going to make it to church. And I'm trying to establish a pattern here of trust issues. You walk up to everything and just start having trust issues with the things that you work with the people that you work with the people that you're around. Are you always walking around in fear? Does that have an effect on your life? Do you know anybody that's like that? I mean, there's people that are out there that they wake up in the morning and the fear is on. There are some trust issues, and you know that because of those trust issues, because of the fear that's in their life, there's something that's sacrificed there. It's like enjoyment, right? Joy. Because of constant fear, there is a lack of joy. Something gets sacrificed. Something is lost when we're losing on the trust factor. Now liken that to going over to God. Do you believe that there's anything lost when we don't trust Him? Now, I would guess for quite a few in here, it is not premeditated trust issues with God. It's just a matter of not living that out. It kind of happens subconsciously to where what happens? How is it revealed that I'm lacking trust in God? It's revealed in the way that I live my life as if God wasn't there. Right? It's revealed in the way that I choose sin. And because I choose that route rather than having faith in God, something's lost in the midst of that. And so as we walk through this today, we're going to see it's going to feel like we've been here before, done that, because Abraham did something just like Isaac is about to do or has a temptation to do. And we're going to find in this that when Isaac actually has faith in God, trusts in Him, he really never loses out on anything because God always provides. When he has faith in God, God provides. When he has faith in God, he knows the next step. When he has faith in God, he can enjoy life not having to worry about what's going on around him. So let's jump into this. Genesis chapter 26, we'll talk about this lesson learned. And they've got two children, Isaac and Rebekah. They've been married, and they're already in the deception game. They're already in the favorites. They're already having family issues, so we already know that. But then all of a sudden, a famine is introduced in the story. There's some things that we can control, and there's some things that we can't. And Isaac can't control the famine, but he's going to try to find an answer for this. So let's jump over here into the proposed escape that's rejected, okay? The proposed escape rejected. In verse number 1, and we're going to go through verse number 6, and I'll try to keep this moving to keep you as awake as possible, all right? Verse number 1, it says, "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham." So they're linking back to him, and we know what Abraham's done. He ran to Egypt, didn't he? He ran to Egypt in that time. And that's where we believe we got Hagar and all of that jazz. But as we go on, "And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar." So as soon as this famine comes into play, God knows that there's going to be a temptation to run to the land of Egypt to find prosperity there, to find a safe place for his family. And God steps in and reveals himself to Isaac and says, "Listen, I don't want you to go down there." Why? Because Abraham had proposed that as a solution. That's where he went. So he doesn't want him to follow suit. So he's saying, "Listen, don't even take this route. I will provide for you. Just as I did with Abraham, so I will with you. I will bless you. These countries that are here, they will be yours. This land will be yours." So it's a matter of having faith in God in the midst of an unruly time where I don't know what's going to be next. You're thinking of a famine. That's a long season of wondering, am I going to have enough for my family? And so that's where I need to step up and say, "Hey, I need to have faith in God." Why? Because he says he's going to provide. He says he's going to be present in Isaac's life. And he will be. But like I've stated before, how many times when problems arise, we try to shoot for our own possibilities, our own avenues of what we think is prosperity. And yet God jumps in here and says, "Don't even do it. Have faith in me." Now, if Isaac just totally blew him off, you know, that'd be pretty open rebellion against God. But what would he be lost in the midst of that? There's a ton of things that could happen there. But because he had faith, he didn't lose out at anything. God provided. Sometimes we feel, and get that term there, sometimes we feel that we're missing out because of what we see going on around us. And yet in the truth, in knowing what is reality, God is not having us miss out on any of his blessings. We're just missing out on what feels like should be our options, should be our placement, our journey. And yet God is providing a route the whole entire time. He's providing. Just trust. You know, this morning, I woke up and Kaylee and I are getting ready, and I said, So do you want to ride the moped to our date this evening? Now, if you haven't seen my moped, you'd be laughing, just like I believe it was you that just laughed, right? And I know that's not even a possibility. She says, date? What do you mean? I want to take you out. Where? I'm not telling you. No, where? All of a sudden, she stopped getting ready. I could say this because she's in the nursery, right? She stopped getting ready, and she started following me around. Where? I'm not telling you. Do you know the smile just kept getting bigger and bigger? She's enjoying it. Do you know what? She didn't go and make her own plans this evening after I told her. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm super thankful. After I told her that, hey, we're going to go somewhere. We're not going on the moped, by the way. Okay? All right? But we get there, you know, 20 hours later. But I'm so glad that she didn't say, I'm just going to plan something with someone else. I don't trust him. No, in that moment, she just embraced, even though it's going to be a surprise and she doesn't know what's going on, she just embraced it. Now, some of you think she's crazy, all right? But hey, we've been going at this for 11 years, so she's all right. We're going to keep going on down the road, all right? But just think about that whole, we don't know everything. Isaac doesn't know the next step, but he just embraced it. God, this is what you want for me. I'm going to embrace it. And so even though this could have been an option, he decided to just obey God and stay where he's at, where God said, hey, I'm going to make this yours. I'm going to take care of you. But then all of a sudden, Isaac doesn't stay unput with faith this entire time. Because you know what? He's a sinner just like every one of us. I'm not excusing what he's doing, okay? Not at all. But yet, here we are. We are watching this unfold, and sometimes we look at him and think, how dare he? But yet, at the same time, we show our lack of faith all the time. As we jump into verses 7 through 11, we see a desperate lie uncovered, okay? He wasn't any good at lying, just like his dad wasn't any good at lying, and they were always found out. And guess what? I don't think any of us are very good at lying. Make sure you sin, your sin will find you out. Make sure your sin will find you out. I think that was relayed to me over and over and over again as a child. And then they even had illustrations of stories where do you remember the story where the boy, I think he stole his sister's doll or something, and it had corn inside of it or something. It was like a corn doll. Did you teach us that one, Mrs. Tibbet? No, but do you know what it is? Yeah. And he buried it. All of a sudden, corn started sprouting. Make sure your sin will find you out, right? But in this, he gets into verses 7 through 11, and let's read it here. And the men of the place asked him, so where they're at in Gerar, all of a sudden the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she's my sister. Did you hear that before? I would never say this. You want to know why? I'd get slapped. Maybe they didn't allow that back then. I don't know. I mean, you think I'd say Keely's my sister? She'd be like, what are you talking about? I got a ring on my finger, right? And she might be a little bit quieter about it, but she would let me know that this was not the right direction. But he says, she's my sister. Why? For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah. Because she was fair to look upon. Remember what God stated? That he was going to take care of him. That he was going to bless him. That he was going to provide for him. And yet all of a sudden, what do we see here? Fear. Fear. This is where we're seeing where he's going to sacrifice something here in the midst of trust issues. In the midst of a lack of faith. Okay, so the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah because she was fair to look upon. Verse 8, And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. They're playing basketball. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. So in this situation, he lies to her. And yet, they are enjoying one another's company to the point where he says, he's a liar. And he didn't go around and he didn't spread it to everybody else. He just went directly to him and says, what is up? Why are you doing this? He says, well, I don't want to die for her. I could die. You could kill me. You might want her. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us. You remember the last time when Abraham had the correlation with Abimelech and he had lied about his wife? What happened? Abimelech was visited by God and says, don't do this. You're going to have some issues. You're going to have some judgment. And yet here we have, it looks like there's a remembrance back to that time. And he says, lest you have brought guiltiness upon us. You're going to bring this judgment upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall be surely be put to death. Why do you think, was he afraid of Isaac in this moment? That he says, hey don't touch them because I'm afraid of what Isaac might do. You think that's where it's at? Or do you think he has a higher respect and more faith in what God's judgment can happen upon him? That's where it comes down to. All of a sudden, this guy, who hasn't been promised this covenant, as Isaac has, is showing more faith in what God's character can do, what God can do when people don't do what's right. And there is this understanding, listen, that of Abimelech, if he was to let anything happen, even one person, something could happen to his people. So he just steps back in his respect and awe of God, and he steps back and he says, don't anyone touch them. Just leave them alone. There's a couple of things about this lie that you need to realize. First of all, it was a cowardly lie. What did he do it for? He didn't want to die. He was fearful. What might happen to him? Did he ever think about his wife? It's not only cowardly, but it was dangerous, because what could have happened to her in the midst of that? What would happen if she had been with someone else and they found out? What could they have done to her? What in their culture could have affected her? But yet it also could have messed up the line of what God has placed in through your lineage, through Isaac's lineage. You're supposed to have this child. What if all of a sudden Rebecca's taken? We're back to that the same questions that we were asking about Sarah. And so it was not only cowardly, but it was dangerous, and it was also unnecessary. Why? Because God provides. God protects. God cares. God is present. God is powerful. God has promised all of these things. Why would you feel that you need to lie when God has laid out the journey in front of you? You just need to trust Him. We just need to have faith. This is where we all come down to. Listen, our sin is totally unnecessary. Have you ever thought about it like that? Our sin is totally unnecessary. Our sin is dangerous to us and to those that are around us. And our sin is cowardly. Okay? Because what is it motivated by? It's motivated by our own selfishness. It can influence others in the wrong way. And it's unnecessary because we can find total contentment in Jesus Christ. Our sin is unnecessary. But as we see this, what did he sacrifice? When we sacrifice our faith in God, it tends to sacrifice our family's view of him. It tends to sacrifice our neighbor's view of God. When all of a sudden he isn't enough, people watch. And as we sacrifice that faith, they sacrifice their view or any option of thinking that there could be hope in God. Because if this Christian doesn't trust, why would I, right? And so how does our faith affect those that are around us? If we would have held on to that, again, he would have lost nothing here. They would have said, listen, this guy trusts in God. Even in the midst of, hey, his wife's beautiful, and they could have taken and killed him, and yet he remained true to his family. All of a sudden, in that moment, guess what? Rebecca saw that Isaac didn't trust God. I think of those moments when, in my own lack of faith, as my children watch, how does that affect them? As my wife watches, how does that affect her? As our church watches, how does that affect you? When God's not enough for me, in my decision, because of my feelings and my selfishness, all of a sudden others can be influenced by that. So here's a challenge. Listen, here it is, a lie in selfishness, and yet it is uncovered, and there has been a sacrifice made. But in the midst of that, Isaac doesn't have to stay there. You know, as he's confronted here about his sin, you know what we feel like doing after being confronted in our sin? Running and hiding. Getting as far away as possible, right? You just brought my sin to light. I'm not sure if I want to be in the same room. Shame. Head down. Have you ever confronted a child? All of a sudden, what they stated wasn't truth, and you say, wait a minute, that was a lie. Head down. Shame. They don't want to be around that. They want to walk away from it. And yet, we have the opportunity to keep moving forward and say, okay, yeah, I messed up. Now what? Now it's time to put my faith back in God. And there's more issues that come that Isaac is now being able to deal with in verses 12 through 35. And he jumps in, and his response is very telling in all of this. And it's surprising. But as we move through this, all of a sudden room is made available, as God had stated, hey, listen, this is going to be yours. Room is made available. It's just going to be a little bit of troubles on the way and the journey. We go to verse number 12, and it says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in that same year an hundredfold. Oh, wait a minute, remember that? Famine in the land, and yet he trusts in God. He sows, he receives the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. Who's at work? God. When you have faith, God works. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Do you think that that would start to happen? As God blesses, he's starting to have issues with his neighbors. They're wanting what he's got, and so some problems start arising. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. You think that'd be a little bit frustrating? My dad dug these wells. His people dug these wells. And here, these people, because of their envy, they're filling these wells. He said, wait a minute, I thought he was being blessed by God. Just wait. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. So the envy is brought to a circumstance where Abimelech's saying, hey, you need to move on. You need to move on. Do you think maybe there were some trust issues there where he didn't trust Isaac? Do you think there could be some issues going on there? If Isaac could be deceptive in the beginning, he could still be deceptive now. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. So it's time to fight now, right? You kicked us out, and here we are digging the wells that my father dug, and I'm making it happen again. We're calling them by the same names, and then all of a sudden the well is stolen by the neighbors. It's time to fight. Wait. He doesn't. What does he do? They digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sidna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So first well, problem. Second well, problem. Finally, the third one. God's made room for us. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. Wait, what's going on here, folks? Why aren't we seeing an upheaval of frustration at the fact that they're doing all the work, and yet yet these neighbors are coming in, they're taking over, they're stealing, they're covering up, they're doing all these things to dismantle what Isaac is trying to build, and yet Isaac just keeps moving on. Why does he not have, why does he not make problems for his neighbors? Why doesn't he fight this? Because of faith. He's finally grasping the whole idea of what God has been trying to present to him. I will provide for you. I will make you this land. I will give it to you. This will be yours. I will set you up. And he's finally come into the God, it's yours. I'm handing it off to you. I am going to put my faith in you. I'm not going to try to fight this. I know that you've got a plan, and whatever your plan is going to work out. And he finally gets to this last well and says, finally, there's been room made available. God's provided. And as soon as that happened, the Lord showed up, says, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for thy servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. We've heard of him before. We've heard that term come up. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? So all of a sudden these guys come up, Abimelech and these guys, they come up to Isaac, and he said, why are you even showing up? You're the one that sent me away. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast. Wow, is that a little bit surprising in his response there? After all that he's been through, and as he's finally come to settle down, and these guys come over, and yet there's been some issues in the past, but they're saying, listen, we want to just reconcile this. We want to make an oath. We have seen God working in you. We have seen God bless you. We've seen God move in you, and we don't want to get in the way of that. We don't want to be against you. So Isaac made a feast. And they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and swore one to another. And Isaac sent them away. And they departed from him in peace. Departed from him in peace. What do you think is going on here? Isaac, in his faith, is showing how God is real to him, to his family, to his neighbors, putting his faith in God, and that's affecting others. They don't want to go against that. They come in, they want to make peace. They're seeing God move. Have you ever thought about that in our own lives? The more we have faith, the more that others see God, the more that we actually become the image bearers that He's created us to be. They start to see His image rather than ours. They start to see Him more clearly. Do you think that in that moment that they should turn around and worship and respect and be in awe? Well, you know what Abimelech was. I don't want to get in the way. I want to have peace. Let's make peace. Not because of Isaac, but because of God. Our faith. There's something that we gain from that. There's a way that God moves through it. We're not sacrificing in that moment of what God's working to do. We might sacrifice the things that we think we should have, and the things that we think that we deserve. Like, I imagine that Isaac many times was saying, what is going on? We dug this well, why can't we keep it? And yet he moved on to the next place to go and to have faith in where God was going to set them up. Faith, pointing to God. God's real. Shows others he's real. All glory to him. Verse 32, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water, and he called it Sheba, and therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. More blessings from God. Do you know what's depressing about the last part? Is that at times we mess up, we don't show our faith. At other times we do show our faith and we point to God and God does provide. But you know, in the midst of that, we still see that people make choices to walk the other direction. It says, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Esau was already chasing after what he shouldn't. They knew it was wrong. He's going after those that were in the midst of the land. And yet sometimes that happens. But you know, in that moment, we still don't give up our faith in God. We still move forward, putting our faith in God, praying that God would change them, praying that God would move in them. And if He could provide, He could move and He could work in our children. He can work in those that are around us that aren't choosing what's right. But we need to do everything that we possibly can to put our faith in God, because He will provide. Because He will make a way when there seems to be no way. Because He will show up, show Himself big, show Himself mighty. He will be our refuge. He will be all the things that He's promised us throughout the Old and New Testaments. As we close out this afternoon, we think about what we sacrifice when we sacrifice faith. Sacrifice influence of those that are around us. Sacrifice our own reputation. Sacrifice enjoyment of what God's given us. We sacrifice quite a bit when we decide to sacrifice our faith. So pray and ask God. God, give me the strength to put my feelings aside and my fears aside, and that I can just trust in You. Even when things are out of our control, just like the famine, Isaac didn't bring that along. When things are outside of my control, God, I'm still going to place my trust in You, and You can make things happen when it seems like nothing could happen. I just need to put my faith in God. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for all that You do, what You continue to do, how You show Yourself mighty in times of sorrow. How You can give us joy in the midst of chaos. As You move and as You provide, as You care for us, as You love us through these times, God, we thank You. God, we need to have faith. God, help us. Help us to put our full, unwavering faith in You, Your character, Your will, Your purpose for us. God, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.